Welcome, friends, to Radio St. Pete. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. And for Lunchtime Conversations, I have an incredible tasty piece. There is a wonderful woman here who has made an incredible film that will premiere at Greenlight Cinema on the 24th. And I want to welcome Lauren Hubbard to our show. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you, Ms. Annette. I'm excited to be here and to talk about our expedition experience and, of course, the upcoming documentary, The Impossible Dream.
You know, The Impossible Dream, Carried by the Light, A Future Leader's Journey, will be at Greenlight Cinema on August 24th. The premiere is at 3 o'clock, and there's a second showing at 3. I want to just start with, I want to tell people a little bit about your journey, and then we'll get to the film, which I know you're still editing at this moment. So, Lauren, there's a great story in St. Pete Life magazine that our dear friend and partner, Nick Steele, wrote. And you're a sailor. You're a relatively newly single mother with a lovely child. Tell us a little bit about your journey as a model, how you ended up in St. Pete, and then we're going to get right down to the film.
Yeah, so these are all great. These are all great questions. So I've actually been a part of St. Pete. You know, St. Petersburg has been home to me. I was born in Hawaii. We moved to the States. We moved to St. Petersburg when I was 4, and I've been here ever since. I've traveled in between, but have always found myself back at home in St. Petersburg, which is where I am raising my future leader, this month, May, who's 4 now, and was a part of historic Kenwood Neighborhood Association, which is where her dad and I lived, and ultimately where I founded a lot of my relationships in the community, being on the board with historic Kenwood and leading our Kenwood Kids events and having Bungalow Fest along with the annual Easter egg hunt. So all of these things were opportunities that allowed me to serve in the community, but really became, you know, networking building blocks that I wouldn't see later appear that way until, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line as we're launching All the World's Kids. And All the World's Kids came to fruition in 2024. I was an educator trying to figure out how to serve underserved youth in our community and how to create access where there wasn't any. And so I left my teaching job and decided to start All the World's Kids. And I wanted to provide art therapy, life coaching, pathway planning, and then these mini global impact expeditions to take youth abroad who otherwise would never have been equipped with a passport to see outside the four walls that make up their home. I really just wanted to provide access where there wasn't any for our youth on the south side.
Absolutely. And Laura, just so you know, Lauren, try to keep the phone next to you because you're fading just a little bit in and out. And I've made a note to actually, at 4:51, we'll edit out what I just said. So returning to our interview, you also are a sailor. Tell us a little bit about that and about how that has changed your life and how it's important to you.
So sailing became a part of healing on my journey when I went through my separation. I wanted to build confidence and gain a skill that could not be taken away from me. And I had spent so much time out on the water that I wanted to learn and become sufficient at sailing. So I started sailing lessons at the St. Pete Sailing Center over by USF. And after a year of sailing lessons, I thought, I think I want to make this a lifestyle. I just felt so much freedom. There was a change in perspective, being out on the water, being away off land, and seeing, you know, the view of downtown St. Pete reminded me that all of that was just noise in the city, and that every morning at sunrise, I could take my boat, go out to sea, and see the potential and the possibility of a brand new day. So that became how I healed myself and how I started my journey of living aboard our Canterbury 270 called El Ganta, which is our home. Yeah.
And you do use the hashtag pound, think, dream, dare, believe to represent your foundation. Now, you spent some time living abroad in Southeast Asia and working for service organizations in the Philippines and elsewhere. So you have some knowledge of the challenges that children, and in particular young girls, experience. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was a beauty queen serving, competing in a pageant for, it was called the Miss Global Pageant. It was actually hosted in Cambodia. We were there for a month, and the coronation took place in Phnom Penh, which is the capital, and I placed top 10 in that pageant. And in Southeast Asia, becoming a beauty queen is like a passage to get out. Many of these young girls are brought up to compete in these pageants because it's their meal ticket out of their poverty and their lifestyle that they come from. And so I used the leverage of my platform to go into these rural areas and to meet these children. And that kind of is what launched the, you know, the service and becoming a voice for those who didn't have one. So I started with the Philippines with an organization called the Voice of the Free, which is a foundation that rescues young girls from sex trafficking and modern day slavery. And it was there leading meditation with those group of girls that I heard which came to be the name All the World's Kids Are Isolated.
It's so wonderful. And when did you find, when did you actually launch All the World's Kids Inc.? What year was that?
We formed in 2024.
So what have been the challenges of creating a nonprofit and creating something in this economy as the world is changing and politics are changing? It seems to me that what you're doing is even more important to shine a light on the issues.
Well, we've been really fortunate, Nanette, that we've had instrumental community partners that think, dream, and dare meet with us, that have seen the opportunity and the possibility of taking youth abroad and showing them that the world is bigger than what they know to be true, and that those who seem to have less than their peers here actually have so much more. And so what we've learned is when we take these youth abroad, when they have this cultural immersion and they live with a host family and they see that those who have less are actually very happy, they realize that they haven't really seen it all yet. And it makes them come back with these life skills and they're able to invest in their own backyard neighborhood communities. We haven't really had any issues as far as politics. We don't receive any federal funding. Everything's been community-based. So we are really grassroots and everything that we've been able to do has been upon the shoulders of our community neighbors.
So that's a great segue to the local students' incredible journey to bring clean water to Cambodia as featured in this new documentary. Tell us how you how this came about and the actual creative process in filming this at the same time taking students with you in this incredible, impossible dream.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So, you know, just because you receive a grant doesn't mean that you'll always receive grant funds. We don't know how often we'll be able to receive these grants. And so we got the opportunity through the Foundation for a Healthy St. Pete and the Spear Dream Foundation. We received a beautiful sum to build capacity. And I didn't really know what build capacity meant until I went to a grant conference, which was an opportunity for me to learn that these capacity building structures are actually through filmmaking. You can make a film and it will live beyond the grant term and once the funds are gone, but we'll still have a story to tell. And I thought, we only get to do this one time. Let's go out with a bang. Let's make a movie so we can continue to tell the story even if we aren't able to access funds down the line. So really this is a grant capacity building tool that will help us tell the story in case the funds don't arrive in the way that we've been able to magnificently see arrive to us.
And the importance of water, you know, water everywhere and not a drop to drink is what I want to say about this.
Yes.
Because, you know, we hear about Africa and doing these life-saving water filters. How did you come up with that? You know, I get the feeling that you're an inner your inner child is a mermaid.
Yes.
And that you really, you know, you just have such a spirit that is fueled by the water and then, you know, a mission that is fueled to give people healthy water. Tell us a little bit about how you came up with that particular project to do.
Yeah, that's incredible to even touch on, and I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, water is life. It's a basic fundamental need. It's not a right. It's not a passage for affluent communities or for only those that can afford it. It's a human right, and we provide not just water, but dignity. So we partnered with Water for Cambodia in the host country, the Kingdom of Cambodia, who provided all of the resources and supplies for us to build these water filters. We just had to show up and get there to build the molds. and to deliver them. We also had a fundraise because it's $100 per delivery. So we were able to raise $900 to build 9 filters. We did these in 1 week, and we delivered them and installed them to rural Cambodia. We did 9 water filters in a village called Plung Village, which is actually where we had our homestay. So our youth not only got to bring water to the area that welcomed us in their doors and let us live with them, but we got to leave a sign of hope with beautiful painted mantras of think, dream, dare, believe, and future leaders are born here. So we weren't just bringing water, clean and safe access to drinking water, so that way we can ensure that these youth can attend school so that they have less disease. I mean, all of these things, they're all connected, right? Kids can't attend school if they're dehydrated or if they don't have access to clean and safe drinking water. And so this is really paramount in making sure that not only these youth in rural Cambodia have access to clean and safe drinking water, but that they also can attend and have an education that they deserve.
So who is on the creative team with you that helped create, produce, direct this documentary?
That's a great question, too, and I really have to bow down to my good friend, Sergio Guerrero. He was the videographer. We were able to secure funds to get him his ticket to travel with us. It's all of his equipment, and it's because of the kindness in his heart that he decided to say, you know, we'll make this grant capacity building tool, this short feature to present to the foundation as part of the completed project for the grant, but we'll also create this feature documentary, and I'm going to volunteer my time to make sure that we can get this project and have something that outlives the grant duration process. So it's really, you know, because of Sergio and I sitting, funding, you know, hundreds of hours away, and we're still editing. We've got 2 days until we actually have to submit the final project to Greenlight Cinema and have our first showing before we actually have the premiere. So we're pounding away, currently editing, but it's been a huge thanks to his belief, and he's co-dreamer and co-producer on the project, and none of this would be possible, honestly, without the many hands that have helped to make this what it is.
How did you pick the students, and where did they come from? And tell us a little bit about their experience and what happened.
Sure. So I served in the Peace Corps. I graduated college from USF in 2008, and this was, if you can remember, Nanette, was during the time of the recession. So just because you had a college degree, it didn't necessarily mean that you were going to be given a job. And so my mom suggested the Peace Corps. She said, "Why don't you go and do service?" So I happened to get accepted into the Peace Corps. I served in Rwanda, and what I took away with that was this opportunity of service and how transformative that was. And I thought, as I integrated and created All the World's Kids, what if we did mini global expeditions where we could take kids and give them service, not for 27 months, but for 2 weeks at a time? So we created an application process. We got the green light and the partnership with the Academy Prep Center of St. Petersburg, which is on the south side. And we brought in applications to just the eighth grade class. But when I went in to give the presentation about the project to the entire school, we had interest from the sixth graders, we had interest from the seventh graders, and the eighth graders. So we brought in all these applicants, and we had a committee that reviewed the applications. And it was so hard, but we narrowed it down to the 5 that actually got chosen and that are featured in this film.
And, you know, what I think is so lovely is we're going to meet these people, 5 future leaders from the Academy Prep Center. Are walking the red carpet.
Yes,
yes, it's so exciting.
It's so exciting.
So tell me a little bit about, how can I say this? Your impression of how when these kids from Academy Prep interact with the people, the families, and the children in Cambodia. Tell me, give me some actual anecdotes and stories from that and what you saw.
You know, so this is really powerful, Nanette. I don't know if we lose this touch of connection as we get older and because of beliefs or, you know, different ways of upbringing. But when you take kids that are untainted from a certain projection of how the world is, their minds are open. They're sponges. So when we bring them over to Cambodia and they can't speak the language and the host country nationals can't really speak English, to see them hold hands, to see them learn camaraderie and teamwork and build a relationship without understanding each other, it goes to show you that borders are designed to keep us apart. And those are man-made structures that we can actually break down, and we're all connected more than we even know to be true. So you have these kids that are coming from America into this new world completely unveiled to what life is like in Cambodia. And it was humbling, right? Because they're using buckets to bathe. They're hand washing their clothes. They're unfamiliar in all of their surroundings, but they're trusting to those caretakers that have welcomed them in. And then you see this beauty. We became a part of the village. We became a part of the families. You know, there was this young girl, and a lot of the kids took a liking to her. She's only 6 years old. She can only speak Khmer, which is the local language there in Cambodia. But she gave us our first tour around the countryside village that we stayed in. We couldn't understand her, and she couldn't understand us. But a smile was powerful enough to say, come with me this way, and I'll show you what you need to see. And that was the first introduction into the countryside and how we fell in love with all of the Khmer people that we came to meet.
Friends, if you've just joined me on this podcast, I am talking to the delightful Lauren Hubbard. She is the founder of the AllTheWorldKidsInc.org. Her story is incredible. On Sunday, August 24th at Greenlight Cinema, the documentary, The Impossible Dream, Carried by the Light, A Future Leader's Journey, will look at their life-changing trip to Cambodia with five future leaders from the Academy. Presenter will be on the runway. You'll be able to talk with Lauren, talk with the students, and see what I believe will be a mesmerizing, uplifting, and life-changing documentary. Lauren, what is next for you, and how can people help you and your organization?
That's a great question. You know, we're preparing applications for the next expedition. We plan to do a two-country host tour for next year, taking a group of students from Academy Prep back to Cambodia to build water filters and to the Philippines, where a lot of this started. And so really all that I can say is if you want to host a screening, if you want to make a donation to help take these kids global, if you want to support or sponsor a student to cover their travel fees, that would make a dent in the project that we're trying to achieve. So come and visit our organization website, which is alltheworldkidsinc.org. You can make a donation there and learn more about us. And you can also email me personally, and I'm happy to meet with you one-on-one as well. My email is lauren@alltheworldkidsinc.org. And I think right now we're just going to sit in this moment and hold space for everything we've created, because this is a huge project. We made the impossible possible, and I'm so honored and grateful to share it with those that are attending this weekend.
Lauren Hubbard, we thank you so much. So please join me. I will be there. I know our friend Nick Steele will be there at Greenlight Cinema Sunday, August 24th, with the screening at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock as well. Lauren, congratulations. I want to ask you one question because you have a little one. What is the importance for young people, no matter what age, to start giving back to the community?
I think it takes nothing away from us when we can help others. And if I can teach my child anything, it's that I want her to know that she has everything she needs within her to be of service to those that she comes across. Whether that's her light or a hand, a simple gesture, it goes a long way. You know, we have a lot of pain in our lives, and we don't ever talk about it. We just walk around like robots. And if we could all just be a little bit more gentle with each other, how much kinder the world would be. So I think kindness, that is a life skill that we need to pass down to our future leaders, because they'll be the ones taking care of us in the future.
Folks, if we've learned anything today, it's not random acts of kindness. It's daily acts of kindness. Lauren Hubbard, thank you so much. We cannot wait to see The Impossible Dream, Carried by the Light, A Future Leader's Journey, her new documentary that she's done with Sergio Guerrero, the videographer, chronicling just one life-changing trip to Cambodia as she makes changes in our lives every day. Thank you, Lauren, for being on Radio St. Pete.
Thank you so much. This has been a blast. Thank you.